Let's ask for God's Spirit to help us as we come to God's Word. Let me pray. Almighty God, we come to you in faith this morning to receive from you. Thank you for your Word. Thank you that it opens up our heart. It helps us to see the realities of who we are, of what we need, of who you are. And Lord, with all that is going on in our lives and our worlds, would you speak to us this morning? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Benoit was a 15-year-old French boy. I had been on a French exchange with him, or I'd done that part. I'd been over to France to his house, and he was coming back to my house for a week or 10 days or so. And when he got to Ireland, it was clear as time went on that he wasn't very happy. There were some really big clues. The fact that, well, he wore his coat all the time, whatever the weather was. He wasn't really interested in what we got up to. He spent lots of time just reading The Three Musketeers in French, hours doing that. But I think the biggest clue for us that he was struggling was the fact that he slept with his plane ticket and his passport under his pillow. And the reason we knew that is because we found out halfway to the airport to take him home that he didn't have them and that they were still under the pillow. The poor guy was really homesick. I'd like to think it wasn't about us and our family, but I don't know. If you've ever been homesick, you'll know what it's like. It's an awful feeling. And actually, it's not just something that children or teenagers experience. Yes, it might be you're away on Irish camp for another week and you just love to be in your own bed. But actually, it might have been something that you've experienced in the last couple of years, away from your family and not able to go back and see them. Or maybe actually it's been that doctor in the hospital has said you're not allowed to go home yet and you're just longing to go home. Actually, if there's anyone longing for a peaceful home at the moment, it's those we're hearing about from the Ukraine. As they are driven out from their homes and wondering, will they ever get back? Will they ever be able to return to go home? Psalm 84 is actually about someone who is desperately homesick. It's written by, the Korah family. We see from the heading of the sons of Korah. They were the musicians, the singers in the temple in Jerusalem. And we don't know exactly why it was written. Was it for people to sing on the way to the temple in one of the annual festivals? We don't know. But it seems that it's written from a place of personal experience. One of these temple singers, away from the temple. We don't know why he's away. We don't know where he is. But it's obvious that he is just longing for a home, to go home to the temple. So verse 1, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord God Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. I think you can just imagine this guy. I don't know at this point where he is, but probably hundreds of miles away from Jerusalem, just sitting there, looking into the distance, thinking of the temple, and yet consumed by it. Because he loves God's dwelling place so much, his soul yearns, he says, his voice cries out. He even sort of is fainting almost. Why? What's so big about this distant temple? Is he afraid he's going to miss choir practice? Is he looking forward to the good coffee afterwards? I think in Dublin in 2020, it's hard for us to get our heads around this, around the sort of awe and the wonder and the attraction for this person of the Jerusalem temple. For the Old Testament believer, it was the most important place on the earth. In its courts, dwelt the living God. So actually what this guy is expressing in these verses is really a homesickness for God. You see that? So he says, it's your dwelling place, O Lord God Almighty. The courts of the Lord, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Here's the first thing that we're going to see from this psalm. But at the start, as he sings this, maybe sat looking into the distance towards that temple, he is homesick for God. I wonder if Jackie was talking about the version that I've sung previously of How Lovely Is Your Dwelling Place. When I got to verse 2 singing this old version, I said to the pastor at the time, I think verse 2 is a bit weak. And he said, do you know it's Psalm 84? So I've learned that actually the next few verses, 3 and onwards, are anything but weak. They're God's living word. And actually what he's saying here is he talks about sparrows and swallows. He's thinking about the Jerusalem temple. And he's thinking, you know, those nests that are actually up there in the top of it. Even those swallows have a home. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may have her young. A place near your altar, O Lord God Almighty, my King and my God. Their nests are near the altar. They're better off, nearer to God. Because this singer knows that life without God or life distant from God is really no God life at all. But life with God is the blessing we're made for. So verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. In fact, this is the first blessed of the psalm. There's 3. So you get it in verse 4, you get it in verse 5, and you get it in verse 12. Here, the first one, he's saying the blessed person is the one who is at home with God. What are you longing for? What is your heart craving for from the sort of depths of your soul at the moment? The things that you sort of cry out for, that you think will give you life or peace or blessing or happiness. As a family, you know, we've had and recovered from COVID. Thank you so much for your prayers for us. For me, it's aggravated my long-term headache issues, and it's been taking a little while longer for them to settle. Now, I've been looking forward, longing for that sort of settling again of my health, a return to the measure of health I had before. But, you know, even as that comes, or as I think back to when I had that measure of health, I still found that wasn't quite enough to satisfy the deep cravings, the deep thirsts of the soul. You see, health in itself doesn't give the deep satisfaction that we long for. Yeah, health is a really wonderful thing, and when we don't have it, oh goodness, it's hard. But health in this life isn't home. No, it's not all we're made for. It can't replace God. What are you longing for? What do you think will give you life? What are you homesick for? Maybe for you think, oh, if I could just get a different job, if I could just be loved by him or her, or if I could get that standard of success in my studies or in sport, or for you, it might just be I just want another hour on that computer game. Or maybe if the kids would just make my life a bit easier rather than a bit harder. In the past, when we've got the things that we have, you know, driven ourselves towards, that we've longed for, have they really met our expectations? Have they brought a joy that lasted? If they haven't, we shouldn't be surprised, because the things of this world will not satisfy. Because we are made for, What this singer is yearning for, longing for, is the relationship that we were designed for. To be at home with the eternal God. And so we ought to long for him. Now, there is a difference between this singer and us here today. We don't need to go to a temple or a religious building to be with God. No, Jesus promised that for all who trust in him, he will be with us for all eternity by his Holy Spirit, that he truly is with you today if you are a believer in him. But we know there is still more to come. That it's only in the future that we will experience fully, physically, that wonder of being with God. And so it's right, in a sense, for us to be homesick for that future reality. How is that possible, though? I know for myself, sometimes my yearnings are so weak for God, so strong for other things. How can we keep that longing? Well, interestingly, as we look at this, it's not in our own strength. We need strength for the journey. And secondly, what we're going to see here is that on the way, as he journeys, the singer has homeward strength. Look at verse 5. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who set their hearts on pilgrimage. So here's the singer. He is yearning to be back at the temple, to be with God. And so he gets up and he journeys. He sets out resolutely on this pilgrimage and a return to Jerusalem. But he doesn't do it in his own strength, not by trying harder. No, what did we see? Verse 5. Those whose strength is in you. For those of us who are Christians, living for Jesus does seem like a journey. It is a kind of journey because we're not fully at home with God. But two reasons why that's not the case. Although we truly know God, we don't yet see him face to face. But also, it's actually because although we truly love God, we also still have an ongoing battle with sin, a battle to choose him above all things. But we're to be encouraged as we make this journey, as we fight this battle, because God gives us the strength to keep choosing, to keep going. But that doesn't mean that all the blessing is future. So verse 6, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. We live on the Emerald Isle. Why is it called that? Is it because there's loads of jewels in Ireland? No. Is it because our favorite color is green? No, there's a few people wearing green today, but actually not that many of you. It's because, well, I can see the puddle out the back window. We've seen it in the last 24 hours, haven't we? It just rains here. So you get to the top of a mountain in Ireland and you look down into the valley. What do you see? You see green because it's so well watered. That's not the case in Israel. It's not the case in this valley of Baca that the singer talks about. He pictures sort of someone looking down into this valley of Baca, and this valley, it's like the sort of driest of valleys, virtually no water. And he imagines, well, going down into this valley, and as he goes, there are just pools of water appearing. Do you see that from verse 6? They make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. Just sort of as they travel through this valley, there just seems to be overflowing water and refreshment. It's a picture of life and joy. It's a picture of what really happens when we find strength in God. that even in this life, even in the driest periods of this life, we can experience overwhelming flows of blessing. Maybe for you here this morning, you do feel dry. Or this is just a desolate period of life for you at the moment. And there's no blessing. There's just stress or family tension or health trouble. Verse 4 says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. Blessed are those, verse 5, whose strength is in you. We are in these moments to depend on him, set our hearts on him, not necessarily on the solution to our immediate problem, but to cry out to him for help and joy. So verse 8, I think this is what he's doing. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. And what will we find? Well, that even in the valley, in the driest of valleys, there can be a place of springs. That we begin to see the goodness and the blessing of the Lord, even in the midst of those dry times. I was on the phone to a friend of mine on Friday. And he is the only full-time member of staff on one of the biggest Bible colleges in Chile. And has been out there for a number of years working out there. But end of last year, his daughter was diagnosed with a chronic condition, which has meant that the whole family has had to come back to the UK where they're from. And it has been terribly tough for them. And as I spoke to him, you know, talking about the challenges and the sadness and the questions about medication and what was her future going to be like, as he talked about that, there was also joy. That as he went through the valley, he had seen God's blessing, the way that God had carried them, some of the details of how God had provided. He was finding joy. He is finding joy, not primarily in those circumstances. Sometimes they're really tough for them. But in God, on the way, on this journey, they have found homeward strength. Before we move on to the last section of the psalm, I wonder, did you notice in verse 9 that something odd? So he's been praying, verse 8, it's all about himself. Verse 9, he switches to praying for the King, the Anointed One, the Christ. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your Anointed One. Why does he pray for the King? It's not just him who needs strength. God's King needs strength too, because if he's going to go back to a temple, well, back then, God's King was the one who guaranteed the safety of that temple, the access to God. He was the shield that shielded the temple from destruction, that ensured that that blessing and relationship was always available to God's people. And the same guarantee is true for us. In fact, more true. Jesus, God's eternal anointed King, is the one who guarantees access for us to God. He is the shield that gives us access and blessing and relationship all the time. And so for us, actually, we don't actually need to pray verse 9 for God to look with favor on his anointed one, because God the Father has already done that. He said, with my Son I am well pleased. After Jesus died, it says he exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. So that now, as we rely on Jesus the King, the more we do that, the more verse 7 is true for us. We go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. On the way, for us, for my friend, homeward strength is found through faith in Jesus. But on this journey, the best is yet to come. And here's the third thing we're going to see, that at the end is home sweet home. Do you know the game Would You Rather? Do you know this? I'm going to give you two options, and you have to vote with your hand which you'd rather, okay? So, would you rather eat a bar of soap or drink a bottle of washing up liquid? So, hands in the air for eat a bar of soap, hands in the air for drink a bottle of washing up liquid. Okay, you strange people. What about this one? Would you rather never win any game you play or never play any games again? So, would you rather never win any game you play or never play any games again? There's only a few of those. Interesting. They're the competitive ones. Okay, one more for you. Would you rather poke out your own eye or win €5? So, hands for poke out your own eye, win €5. Okay, that is just obvious, isn't it? And if you were tempted with the first one, come and talk to me afterwards, we'll help you out. There's just no comparison. The answer's obvious. There's another one of those in verse 10. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. You see, this guy, he starts on his journey. He journeys. He goes down into the valley. And he continues to look towards the future of getting to that place where that relationship with God is fully experienced. And he says, I would rather be a doorkeeper than spend thousands of days elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper for a day than spend thousands of days elsewhere. Do you know, for that singer, if he was one of those temple singers, he wasn't just a doorkeeper. He had a sort of all-access pass to nearly all of the temple precinct. He could go almost anywhere. And yet he says he'd rather spend one day with God than 1,000 elsewhere. He'd rather a space at the door than at the center of the enemy camp. Verse 10, he says, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Because he knows that being at home with God is like nothing else. And you know, when we're in our right minds, actually, that temptation to sin is something that we won't choose, because we will know that life with God is 1,000 times better. Why? Well, have a look at verse 11. The Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. He says, God is a sun. The sun, well, life as we know it on this earth would not exist without the sun. God is, as sun, the source of life. And he shields, he protects us from harm. Life with God will be life that is truly life, experiencing the full overwhelming of that, of knowing the one who is the source of all good, of knowing the one who will protect us from all harm. Well, that doesn't mean that we won't experience pain and loss in this broken, sinful world in this life. But it means ultimately God will protect us from any lasting consequences. Nothing bad will ultimately touch us. Instead, we'll be showered with favor and honor. And no good thing will be withheld. And you say, really? How can I be sure when I look at my circumstances? Can I know that he'll withhold no good thing? Well, if we are those who know Jesus, yes, we know this. Because he did not withhold his only Son. See, God the Son, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in perfect relationship existed for all eternity. in a home where they were full of rest, there was comfort, there was security, there was joy. Never once did God the Son experience homesickness. But God the Father gave him. God the Son chose to come to earth. And 2,000 years ago, he left the comforts and the joys to come into this broken world. And Jesus said, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He has no home. He came so that we could come home. As he offered himself as the payment for our sins, he did so for all the times we longed for other things more than God, where our heart craved and sought other things more than God. He offered himself for the times where we've lived in the tents of the wicked, where we've gone our own way, or the world's way and not God's. We'd walked out of the home with God, and we deserve to be shut out. But for all who've trusted in Jesus, we've been given a place, not just at the door, but right at the heart of the family. And one day we will experience that in full reality. We'll experience home sweet home. What are you longing for? What do you long for, yearn for in the depths of your soul? What are the things that you crave, you cry out for, that you think will give you life and blessing and happiness? What are you homesick for? C.S. Lewis said, if I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world. We are. We're made for a perfect world, one where our deepest desires are fully met, because we're made for a relationship with our perfect God, our shield, our Son, our Savior. Only He can give us a true home. The question is, do you believe this? Do I? Do we believe that life with God is this good and this good in eternity? Do we long for him, or at least long for him, and want his help to do so? Do we want our life to be a journey towards him rather than away from him? And in the end, do we want to go home to him? Verse 12, O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man, the one who trusts in you. If we do, we'll trust him in the valleys, on the mountaintops, until we experience the reality that even one day in his courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Let me pray. Almighty God, you know the reality of our hearts. You know today how much we long and yearn for you and how much we are tempted to long and yearn for other things. We cry out to you for this strength on this journey as we keep trusting in your great Son and we keep looking forward to that day when we will see you face to face. We pray that you would help us to trust in you, knowing that that is the way to blessing here and to ultimate blessing in our eternal home. We pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing a final